Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. The number here is 888-302-3684, and we await your phone calls. We've got lots to talk about this hour. We're going to talk, deal with a question that I get a lot on this program and in my office, and it's time to weigh in on it. Krill oil versus fish oil. What's the deal with krill oil? You know, very popular variant on the theme of omega-3 fatty acids. Is it the real deal or is it not? We're going to evaluate that in just a few moments. 888-302-3684 is our number. And, you know, like the snowstorms that are hitting the Northeast and the South and the Midwest and all parts of the country, so too are the negative vitamin stories. They're just coming out fast and furious. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to have a seminar at the Hoffman Center, an emergency summit on the subject of the war against natural medicine. And we're going to tackle many of the flawed studies that purport to tell us that we don't need to take supplements or that supplements are even bad for us. But the latest, and I actually did an entire podcast on it. You can go to drhoffman.com and listen to a full podcast. It goes on for 35 or 40 minutes on this analysis that I did on these recent stories. Headline in New York Times. New York Times loves these stories. They just love to rank on vitamins. Why vitamins may be bad for your workout. Oh, who'd have thunk? You know, here I am working out. I'm taking antioxidants. Antioxidants quench free radicals. We know that in the process of exercising, you generate reactive oxidation species, which are byproducts of literally the caloric burn that occurs when you generate energy in your cells. So you want to stamp out those fires with antioxidants, right? Well, here they're saying, research now suggests that antioxidants may reverse the benefits of working out. So here, you bunch of dumb people, you're working out, you're wasting your time because you're taking those stupid antioxidants, you imbeciles, and as a result, your exercise is worthless. Ha, ha, ha. Well, I drilled down. You can listen to the complete analysis on my podcast. But let me point out some of the flaws with this article. First, they say that the one study showed that taking vitamin C and E resulted in a change in the cells where the exercises did not produce enough mitochondria. Mitochondria are upregulated in exercise, and when they took vitamin C and E, they didn't produce as many mitochondria. So the conclusion that they draw, it's a far-reaching conclusion. Vitamin C and E supplementation hampers cellular adaptation to endurance training. And but here's the problem with the study. They admit in this study that while they found these changes when they looked under the microscope after biopsies of the cells, and they, you know, see this stuff going on in the cells that suggests that the exercise is worthless, this was not translated, I'm quoting, to the performance tests applied in the study. So in real life, none of the exercisers taking antioxidants had any decline whatsoever in their athletic performance. Nonetheless, they generate headlines for compliant journalists not doing their homework who write vitamins may be bad for your workout. Okay, so there's more to this. There's even more to this because resveratrol is also in the crosshairs as something that interferes with the benefits of exercise. So that's not just one study, but two studies now. So when it's now, they could say multiple studies. The two studies translates to a lot of studies show that antioxidants may be bad for your workout. Well, let's look at that resveratrol study. The resveratrol study, by the way, the headlines were kind of crazy on that because they the headline writers got it wrong. They wrote stuff like red wine blunts benefits of exercise in men. Oh, this study was actually using resveratrol pills, and pills, by the way, of dubious quality. They really weren't up to the standards of the pills that we prescribe to our patients. The brand we use is Longevinex. And problem is that this particular form of resveratrol is not even a very potent form of resveratrol using the study. But then they infer that red wine is bad for last time I took a 50-mile bike ride and brought along a bottle of red wine, my performance really sucked. Because that's what's happening. So forget the thing about red wine impairing the benefits of exercise. It's not accurate. And it's an example of journalistic malpractice. But what did the study actually show? Well, the study, they looked at cholesterol, and they looked at HDL, and they looked at some other markers, blood pressure, and they found that those who took the resveratrol tablets, there was a little bit less improvement in those markers, but not very much. There's very slight changes in the amount of improvement. By the way, when you exercise, your cholesterol improves and your HDL improves and your blood pressure improves. And in both groups, whether they're taking resveratrol or not, there were improvements. They got conditioned. But when they took the resveratrol, it appeared that there was less improvement. So from that, they infer that resveratrol is bad for exercise. But one thing that was really scientifically dishonest about these researchers is that, and it's not apparent, you got to really drill down in the study to see it, but there, if you look at one of the tables in the study, it shows that those exercisers who took resveratrol actually had a better performance on a step test. A step test is, you get rapid, go rapidly up and down a step. This is a test that can be done in a doctor's office to see how quickly you become out of breath and how much endurance you have. They actually improved on the resveratrol, but no, in the final version of the study, they chose to just bury that fact in an obscure table within the study and not highlight it and come up with the headline that exercise is bad for exercise. I'm sorry, that antioxidants and resveratrol are bad for exercise. So, this and other studies are part of an orchestrated campaign to discredit natural medicine. And we invite, since we have now joined our WOR audience on the new 710 broadcasting to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, we invite you to attend a seminar at the Hoffman Center. We call it an emergency summit because we have to do some damage control to reassure patients and listeners that when they go to their doctors and their doctors say, haven't you seen all the studies? Vitamins are worthless. They're harmful. They're interfering with your exercise. They're making you sick. They're a waste of money. That this is not borne out by the scientific research. It's getting a lot of media play, but it's not the truth. And we need to objectively evaluate these studies to get proper answers that we can apply to our daily lifestyles. Those of you who rely on supplements for their healthy benefits will continue to report on both sides of the issue. There are studies suggesting that there's toxicity, danger, no benefit to certain supplements. We'll be right out there and share that with you via our podcast, via our radio program, via our newsletter, and via our website, brand new website at drhoffman.com. And in just a moment, when we return, I'll read you some nice feedback we're getting on our brand new website we just launched, and people are psyched. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Hey, Joe, have you ever heard the joke about the guy who can't walk and chew gum at the same time? Well, not only can I walk and chew gum, but I can improve my dental health all at the same time, too.
Seriously, Fred, how does that work?
It's easy. I chew Spry Xylitol gum. It's gum with a purpose. Spry is an all-natural gum made with xylitol, not sugar or artificial sweeteners. It tastes great and comes in 5 flavors. You know, Joe, bacteria can't break down xylitol, and this leads to less plaque and less acid to cause cavities. My mouth feels fresh, clean, and healthy.
So who makes Spry?
Spry is made by the folks at Clear. They also have xylitol mints. It's so cool. Like me. My dentist totally recommended it, and it costs the same as regular gum and mints, but you get the added health benefits.
Put the Spry back in your step, and you can walk, chew gum, and help your dental health all at the same time, too. Spry gum and mints are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food retailers nationwide.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen Temporal Scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. In just a moment, I'll tell you a little bit about my latest article in the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, which you can subscribe to. But this week's been exciting because we just launched our new website, and with some trepidation because, you know, you saw what happened to healthcare.gov. You never know when you launch a new website if it's going to function. You know, you can beta test it all you want, but sometimes there are, quote, glitches, but it's working really well. You know, a couple of issues that we spotted that we're addressing, but people love it. Here's a sampling. Diane writes, "Hi, Dr. Hoffman, been following you for years. Listen at night to the podcast on iHeartRadio. We've got Joanne. I listen to the podcast on TuneIn Radio. Great broadcasts, interesting current topics. Carol writes, great looking new site, Dr. Hoffman. Thanks for all the great information you always provide. Diane, love the site, Dr. Hoffman. Susan, the website looks great. Mary, love the new site. And countless more people are finding value at drhoffman.com. And that's what it's all about, because I am a content hog. I just love to push valuable content out in your direction, and you can take advantage of that even more through our new interactive website. Lots of bells and whistles at drhoffman.com. Let's talk now to Diane, who's right here in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, wow, hi. Okay, I have a daughter, she's 36, she's nursing a baby.
Yeah.
And because of certain decisions that were made, you know, about having whatever, she's having, like, terrible, terrible panic attacks, extreme depression. This has been going on for 3 weeks. It's getting worse and worse. Well, and I want to know some kind of natural thing. I mean, I've told her about square breathing and yoga, but maybe you could suggest something.
Sure. Okay, so she also may have some element of postpartum depression, because, and that's really a frequent condition. And, you know, part of it is the overwhelm that you have when you have a baby. I mean, but it's certainly an aspect of that. Is this her first child?
It's her fourth.
Oh, for her fourth. Okay. Well, that also can cause a certain amount of panic, you know, when it's your fourth. But things happen to women's bodies biochemically at the end of pregnancy. It's a little, in some ways, like menopause, because, you know, you're bathed in hormones during pregnancy. I ask many women, how do you feel during pregnancy? And some women say, I loved it. If I'd known, I would have been pregnant, you know, 3 more times. You know, I started late and I couldn't get pregnant. But I felt so good. I felt so relaxed. I felt contented. And that's because you're bathed in these hormones, particularly higher doses of progesterone, which has a relaxing Valium-like effect. It actually works on benzodiazepine receptors in the brain, which relax you and chill you out. The other thing that happens sometimes is after pregnancy, your thyroid goes haywire, and often this can cause depression. So really need to get your thyroid checked out. A little Progesterone is sometimes helpful. Now, she's nursing, so we have to be careful. We don't want to give something that could harm the baby. But also, the other thing is you become nutritionally depleted after pregnancy. In nature, even under conditions of starvation, often babies turn out pretty good. Why? Because nature favors the offspring rather than the mother in terms of nutrition. So a lot of the nutrition gets offloaded to the baby, to the fetus, the developing fetus, and you become depleted in key nutrients, in particular the essential fatty acids. So I would give a lot of omega-3 fatty acids. They're good for the baby, too. They'll make the baby smarter, increase IQ points. But this is something that she could take harmlessly. I mean, she doesn't want to go on an antidepressant because she's nursing.
Right.
Or take anti-anxiety medication because that's going to make the baby, you know, sedated and lethargic. So, you know, she wants to take natural things. One other thing that you could do is you could give inositol. Inositol is a great anti-anxiety supplement. The one problem with inositol is you got to take a lot of it. You have to take about 3 grams 3 or 4 times a day. So you need to take it in a powder form or a lot of capsules. But 9 or 12 or even up to 15 capsules of 1,000 milligram inositol can have a nice relaxing effect, no harmful effects on the baby. So those are some things that you can do. L-theanine is something that is a nice natural anti-anxiety thing. But, yeah, you know, certainly you know, talk therapy, that could help. I mean, she's got some situational stuff, lots going on. She needs a little time to, you know, have some moments to herself so she can talk to a person who can, you know, offer a little bit of encouragement and counseling and some strategies for dealing with anxiety. My favorite is something called CBT, Cognitive Behavioral Therapy. All right?
Oh, sir?
Yes.
Doctor?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay, she does have this little nodule on her thyroid that have a little calcium in it, and it was very, very small, and they keep, like, telling her to come back, like, in a year.
Okay, so she has, I mean, that puts the thyroid in question, because, look, the calcium on the thyroid is, it's just a warning sign that you need to monitor the thyroid. Their concern is not so much the functioning of the thyroid that might contribute to her mood problems. Their concern is that calcium occasionally, rarely, could be a sign that a cancer is present. So, you know, they watch these very carefully. If they don't go away, or they're enlarged, or if they have a certain pattern on a scan, then they may want to stick a needle in there. It's called a fine needle aspiration, make sure there's no cancer present. But to me, what this signals is that the thyroid is not healthy, that it's got calcifications and nodules within it. And that suggests that there may be a thyroid problem. And, you know, evaluating the thyroid very carefully, doing blood tests, listening to the patient clinically. Many of my patients who have terrible depression respond really well to a little dose of natural thyroid. And even sometimes when the test results seem to be borderline or, you know, they're actually normal, but they're on the low side, just a little bit of thyroid, especially in that postpartum time, can really provide patients with a boost. So I'm not saying that that's necessarily the case, but that would be part of the evaluation I'd go through. Looking at blood sugar certainly is a very important consideration when you're dealing with anxiety. You know, ups and downs of blood sugar can be a problem. Moms eat erratically. You know, the schedule is all screwed up, and that could be an issue, too. Stabilizing blood sugar is a major tool in fighting anxiety. You really can't underestimate the importance of hypoglycemia as a cause. All right, when we return, we're going to drill down on the krill story. What's the deal? Is it superior to fish oil, or is it just a flash in the pan? Sales of krill are going through the roof. It's something that has been advocated by many, but it's unclear whether krill oil really is superior. We're going to look at some studies that shed light on this important question for you as a consumer. Should you opt for regular industrial strength fish oil, or should you be taking krill? 888-302-3684 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
I am so glad we ate before we got on the plane.
Oh, me too. Would you like some gum or mints?
What kind do you have?
Spry gum and mints, made with xylitol from the folks at Clear. Both refreshing and good for you. Perfect for when it's not possible to brush your teeth.
Oh, like right now on the plane?
Exactly. You know, bacteria can't break down xylitol, which leads to better dental health. I love it. My teeth feel squeaky clean and my breath is so fresh.
That's great. Give me some. Oh, I wish we could find something to help with the dry air on this plane, too.
Well, Clear makes an all-natural xylitol spray for your nose and sinuses that soothes and moisturizes while not being addictive or harsh. Perfect for airplane travel.
Wow, Clear products really do all that?
Yes, they do. It's the xylitol in them. My whole family uses Clear xylitol products when we travel.
Where can I get them?
You can find Clear and Spry at your favorite health food stores. You know, like Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, and Sprouts.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. In a recent podcast, I had an opportunity to talk to Thomas Gwilliams of the Point Institute about fish oil and fish oil bioavailability and quality and a lot of questions about fish oil. But it gave me an opportunity to learn more about the krill oil controversy. You know, in the past decade, the market's been flooded with information about the use of and the purported superiority of omega-3 fatty acids from krill. And you hear this all the time, is that, okay, everybody knows that fish oil is good, so how are you going to carve out a market that is distinct from the regular fish oil pills? Well, you can offer them in krill oil form, and krill is said to be a superior form. It's better than fish oil. It's not just ordinary fish oil. It's krill oil, and there's some sort of aura of superiority about krill oil. So the claims are basically boiled down to this, is that it is more bioavailable than fish oil, ordinary fish oil. And number two, it contains an extraordinary ingredient called astaxanthin. So let's look at first at the claims about the superior bioavailability of krill oil. And this is sort of an esoteric biochemical argument. It's derived mostly of phospholipids that are somehow going to make the omega-3 fatty acids travel better into your tissue. They're more bioavailable. So the problem with this contention is that the studies are very, very limited, and they're very short term. They're looking at just a few small number of individuals being tested for a short period of time. And there's a little bit of manipulation and prestidigitation. You know, that's a word that it applies to magic. You know, it's like, watch this hand because the other hand is going to do the job in this magic trick. Prestidigitation can sometimes help you get an outcome that you might want to favor. So in one study, they compared 6 capsules of krill to 3 capsules of fish oil. See, the problem with krill is you got to take a lot more krill to get the same amount of EPA and DHA, which are the true things that are proven to be beneficial against cardiovascular disease and against inflammation and beneficial for the brain. So those are that's the business end of, you know, krill oil or fish oil capsules. So what it turns out is that fatty acids from krill would have to be at least 5 times or even 7 to 10 times more bioavailable than fish oil triglycerides to be therapeutically equivalent or economically equivalent. You have to take a lot. It took 14 krill oil capsules to provide 1,680 milligrams of EPA plus DHA. Now, a product that I offer on my website, which is called Orthomega, it has 680 milligrams of EPA and DHA. So at least you know that's the stuff that's been scientifically validated. You'd have to take 14 ordinary krill oil capsules to get that. 14. So if you just take 1 or 2 krill oil capsules, you're not going to get a lot of omega-3 fatty acids into your system. And, you know, you can't really conclude that krill is a better source of EPA and DHA. The study's done in very few individuals, and then sort of, you know, the idea is that the phospholipids can be better absorbed, but that's not really clear. that's not really clearly established. It's a claim. It's based on limited studies. Okay, let's look at the astaxanthin issue. Astaxanthin arguably could be a potent antioxidant. It's sort of like beta-carotene. It's in the carotenoid family. It's present in algae. It's present in salmon. It's what makes salmon pink. It's even added to farm salmon to make their skin or make their flesh pink. And it purports to be helpful for a variety of medical conditions. Okay, well, medical conditions that it seems to that it is said to be beneficial for: macular degeneration, inflammation, skin condition, even menopausal symptoms. These are just some of the conditions that it is said to be helpful for. But according to the natural standard, which is the Bible of supplement research, what they say is that human trials have been conducted in a variety of conditions, but results have been mixed and more research is needed in these areas before any firm conclusions can be drawn. But let's assume that astaxanthin is beneficial. I'm not closing the door on astaxanthin. It might be helpful. We just need to do more studies. It's not one of my favorite supplements. I haven't really adopted it yet. It's on my radar screen, and maybe there'll be additional studies, better studies, that will convince me that it's beneficial. But here's the problem with krill oil that contains astaxanthin. There's a very, very small amount of astaxanthin in a fish oil capsule. It's like 0.5 or 0.8 milligrams per capsule. And the studies that look that try to establish the benefits of krill oil are using like 20 milligrams of astaxanthin, at the very least 8 milligrams of astaxanthin, which is many times the amount you're going to get from krill oil. So there's just maybe there's a little smidge of astaxanthin in there, astaxanthin which might be beneficial, we're not even sure, but such a small amount that it might not make a big difference. So, you know, I got to say that decisively, I have to come down on the side of high potency, molecularly distilled fish oil. Like, you know, I'm not saying there are not other brands that are beneficial. You know, Nordic Naturals makes really nice fish oil supplements. I use a brand that's a physician prescribed brand. It's not available to the general public in health food stores. It's called Orthomega. And these are really highly potent fish oil capsules that deliver all the scientifically proven benefits of EPA and DHA. And, you know, when it comes to krill oil, I'm from Missouri. I'm from the show me state. Show me, because I ain't convinced yet. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684, and we'll answer some more of your phone calls in just a moment on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic aged garlic extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic aged garlic extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic aged garlic extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Staying healthy and building immunity begins in your gut, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. So keeping your digestive tract healthy is imperative for ideal health. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And there's no better way to improve your digestive health than taking a high-quality probiotic. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's every day to rev up the immune system because it has carefully selected strains of beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health and improve immunity. His exclusive formula delivers live, beneficial bacteria that are easily absorbed and provides optimal digestive support, boosts immunity, and increases energy through better absorption of nutrients. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
For more intelligent medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. A shout out to KOZAM in Lewiston, Idaho, who just began picking up Intelligent Medicine for their 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time slot on Saturdays. And so welcome aboard, KOZAM, Cozy in Lewiston, Idaho. Let's talk now to Vern, who's in West Salem, Wisconsin. Hi, Vern.
Hi.
Hi there. What's your question?
So about 6 years ago, I had two strokes. And since that time, I have had severe itch that is not in one spot. It moves around, it seems to. And most intense in my scalp area. I've seen a dermatologist. And he has said that I may have seborrheic dermatitis, and he has prescribed fluocinonide. And I take some Skullcap, and nothing seems to really help. And so I'm just...
Do you take Skullcap on the basis that you think it has something to do with the scalp? Because I'm not sure that Skullcap, I mean, it sounds like it would be helpful for an itchy scalp, but, Skullcap is another word for a yarmulke, which is a religious garment that Orthodox Jews wear.
And well, I'm taking it because it's supposed to help with general itch, and I have itch not just on my skull, but on my scalp, but
general
all
itch. Okay, so I'm not sure that the stroke has something to do with it. I thought you were going to say that after the stroke you had itching on the part of your body that was affected by the stroke, which could mean that it's a neurological condition, that the stroke affected the sensory nerves on one side, which would be unusual, but there's certain types of strokes, thalamic strokes, which can sometimes cause weird sensory problems, as opposed to motor problems like a lack of ability to speak or walk or move your arms.
Two strokes.
Go ahead.
Side.
Okay, I don't know whether the stroke information is consequential here. It may be that the stroke slowed you down or changed some pattern of your life that led to more itching. But okay, seborrheic dermatitis. I mean, it's a kind of a human form of the mange. In animals. And actually, if you ask a vet what you do for it, you feed the animal various types of supplements that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids and other nutrients. It's amazing how well animals with the mange respond to nutrition, but we tend to, instead of giving people nutrition, we tend to smear creams on them if you're a human. You get better treatment in a veterinarian's office if you have the mange than if you're a human. So seborrheic dermatitis, it could be related to a fungal infection. You're taking a steroid, which won't do much for a fungal infection. It will reduce the inflammation. Fungal, antifungal topical agents include tea tree oil. Also, a very nice cream that we use called Manuka, which I use in the winter for dry and itchy skin. If you get dry shins, typically you wear, those heavy woolen socks and it's dry. You get itchy shins sometimes in the winter. I apply a little Manuka oil to my shins. Or, you go outside and the cold affects your face and creates inflammation. You can use some Manuka cream. But for itchy skin conditions, it's great. You could also use extra virgin coconut oil. Very helpful for itchy skin conditions, but it's got to be extra virgin because the natural materials are refined out if it's not extra virgin. There's actually lauric acid in there, which has antifungal and antibacterial properties. From the nutrition standpoint, you got to take omega-3 fatty acids. I would recommend high doses of EPA, DHA, as we just discussed. You can also take GLA, which comes from borage oil or primrose or black currant seed oil. My current favorite is borage oil, and that's really good for dry, itchy skin conditions. You might require an antifungal shampoo, something like some type of like Nizoral shampoo, which is antifungal. You can get that from the dermatologist. And you could also make sure that you have less in the way of sugar and refined carbohydrates in your diet, because high levels of sugar worsen itch. It's been my experience that patients can lower their sugar and carbohydrate intake, and if they have a really recalcitrant, itchy condition, that it'll get better. you know, with dietary modification. Check, too, to see if you have allergies to certain foods. I mean, it actually can contribute sometimes to whole body itch, you know, getting off of gluten or getting off of dairy or another food that you might be sensitive to can make a big difference. So there you have it. I mean, there are a bunch of things that you can do for this. Vitamin D can be helpful. Even a prescription sometimes of a medication called low-dose naltrexone can be very helpful for patients with very stubborn itch problems. That would have to come from a doctor, however. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Back to Intelligent Medicine. Some program notes for WOR listeners on the new 710 WOR Tri-State region of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Towards the end of this month, this program will seem to disappear from the airwaves because for only a short period of time, for approximately 5 or 6 weeks, spring training of the New York Mets will preempt our broadcasts. But that doesn't mean we're going away. We will be rebroadcast on Sunday nights at 11 p.m. So look for us at 11 p.m. as you turn in from your Sunday activities, getting ready for the big week. You can turn on an hour of Health Talk from 11 p.m. to midnight on Sundays. But the show will go on, and we will continue to record our program and broadcast to our national audience from noon to 2 every Saturday. So that means you can call us, even though if you can't hear us, call us at 888-302-3684. Write down that number, 888-302-3684. Or you can email us your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com and give us your number, and we will call you during the program, put you on the air, and then you can listen to yourself on Sunday night. So final item I want to share with you, and I actually wrote a newsletter article, and you can find it at drhoffman.com. High-dose vitamin C can boost the cancer-killing effect of chemotherapy. This is a therapy I've been doing for 20-some-odd years. And in cancer, oral vitamin C doesn't do much. That's been shown. So they said, well, forget vitamin C for cancer. Linus Pauling was a good chemist, but when it comes to nutrition, he was all washed up. Well, intravenous vitamin C is now being touted as a way to boost the cancer-killing effect of chemo. And these new studies, I actually did a podcast with the originator, not the originator, but the researcher who is doing first-class research showing that vitamin C can enhance the survival of cancer patients when given intravenously. High doses, 50, 75, 100 grams, requiring visits to the clinic. You got to sit there for 3 to 4 hours and get it slowly infused. But it turns out that in animal models, in test tube models, and now in humans, it's being demonstrated. This is being picked up by the media. This article from BBC News. Research is very promising and is very validating because this is something that I've been doing for years and years. And it's really helping our cancer patients have better quality of life and to survive longer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. Have yourselves a great weekend. Check out our website at drhoffman.com. Lots of information there. And you can also subscribe to our newsletter, download our podcasts. Lots of ways to improve your health quotient at Intelligent Medicine. Have yourselves a great weekend.